Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Last time we started with verse 8. So let's read verses 9, 10, and 11 this evening. Those that are listening by the internet, give us a call at 856-261-9018, or simply give us an email, questions@bfdbc.org. Glad to hear from you for questions or comments. Romans chapter 1, let's begin reading verses 9, 10, and 11 together. For God is my witness, and my servant with my spirit, and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests,
if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you.
For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift,
to the end you may be established.
Before I continue, John, you have an invitation to us at the end of the service. Would you like to invite the people?
Yes, at the end of the service, my daughter Justine has made some coconut cupcakes, homemade, all from scratch, and we have those available.
I'm hungry now, too.
Yeah. And Pastor Dan's been salivating for the last 2 hours, I think.
So we're meeting in the kitchen?
Yes, we'll have them in the kitchen unless you want them somewhere else.
That'd be fine.
Okay.
Right, thank you. I just want to get that in there so everybody feel welcome. All right, verse number 9. What does it mean God is my witness? Why is God a witness? Is he a witness to all of us?
Yes.
Other people?
He's omniscient.
He's omniscient. He knows exactly what Paul did, what we do, whatever it is. He's my witness. Now notice also in verse number 9, what does Paul do day and night? In verse number 9.
Make mention of you always in his prayer.
Yes, and before that even.
He serves
the Lord. What does it mean with my spirit in the gospel?
With all of his heart.
All of his heart. His soul, his heart is into it. He serves. He's a servant. Paul is a servant. It's in the gospel of his Son. Now, how would we define the gospel? I remember when I was thinking about this earlier today, Dr. Lewis Ray Schaefer, founder of our seminary that I went to, Dallas Theological Seminary, he said, men, he said, you haven't preached the gospel, that you've given them something to believe. That's a pretty good explanation. Mm-hmm. What do people need to believe in order to be saved with that gospel message?
The Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins.
Paid the penalty for our sins, for the sins that they had. He died for their sins. What else?
Resurrected.
By the resurrection?
Yes.
What else about their own natures?
That they're sinners.
That they're sinners. If they don't think they're sinners, who needs a Savior? See? And then some to believe the Lord Jesus wants to invite them to come and accept Him and receive Him as their Savior. Dear. So serve the Lord in the gospel of His Son. That's good news, isn't it? Gospel, they're looking at Him, which is good news. Now notice also what Paul does in verse 9. You mentioned earlier. What does he do to these Christians in Rome?
Without ceasing.
Mention my prayer always. Without ceasing, what do you think that would be?
Continuous.
And without any let up, he always makes concern, always in his prayers. Prayer in the Lord. We've got to pray the same for other people as well. Does everybody have the same need?
No.
No, we have different needs. And so, pray for the Christians at Rome. Had Paul ever been to Rome at this point?
No.
No? But he'd heard from them, the different ones coming through and so on, so he was able to mention prayer continuously without ceasing. Then in verse number 10,
Barbara. The gospel of his Son goes back to 1:1, which talks about the gospel of God.
Yes.
So the gospel of God and the gospel of the Son has to be the same thing.
Yes, that would be good. Gospel of God, gospel of the Son. The good news that God the Father sent his Son into the world to die for the sinners, all the sinners, everybody in the world. Whosoever will might be saved. Whoever trusts him can be saved. Now, what do the hyper-Calvinists say about the gospel? What is their definition of the gospel?
Only the elect.
Only the elect. He died only for the elect, a certain group of people.
Right.
What about the people that weren't the elect? Are they, according to the hyper-Calvinist doctrine, are they ever able to be saved?
No.
They're shut out. What a horrible thing.
Right.
What does whosoever mean in John 3:16? Whosoever believes in it. What does that mean?
Anybody.
The invitation is open. See, so these people that are hyper-Calvinists, and there are many of them, multitudes of them, they're growing and growing and growing by leaps and bounds all over the internet and overseas and missionaries and everything else, and they think you're a fool to say Christ died for you. Oh, no, he didn't ask you if you're not elect. See, they point you out.
What did they? What did they believe?
They just believe that Christ died only for a small little group called the elect. He didn't die for the sins of the whole world.
Who would that elect be?
Well, just for certain people he'd have. And they don't even have to. In other words, it's a hyper-Calvinist position. It's a TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. It's a very theological thing. But just for a certain group, he died for them. He didn't die for the rest of us who are not part of the elect.
He died for those that are predestined to be saved.
Saying that God selected certain people.
Certain people. Yes.
We don't know who they are.
Tammy, go ahead.
They don't know.
Doesn't John MacArthur believe that?
Yes, John MacArthur is a hyper-Calvinist. It's a sad thing. He does. One of the things he believes.
He's just a preacher. Don't worry about it.
John MacArthur, he's a preacher, and he's got a whole big commentary on the Bible. He's got a big church. He's got radio programs all over the world. He's got a seminary and college out there on the West Coast in the Philadelphia, the Los Angeles area. So the gospel of the Son is defined by different people. I remember, I've told you this before, but let me repeat it. There's a missionary somewhere out there, honey, where was it? There was a hyper-Calvinist, and I was talking about Paul and Silas in prison, and the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. They believe also. And I said that the Calvinists don't believe that. You know, you have to be one of the elect before you be saved. That missionary wrote a real bad letter. Oh, how terrible you were.
A man from Japan.
I guess he's from Japan.
Timothy Peach.
Anyway, but the gospel of the Son, we've got it in the scriptures. We've got to stick to the scriptures and not offshooting these other people kind of off base situation. So he prayed and making a request. What was his request in verse number 10?
He might come to them.
What? Prosperous journey. That's a, by any means, at length. What does that mean, at length mean?
Finally.
See, apparently he wanted to come to see him in Rome. Now, Romans are written from Corinth, about 60 AD. And Corinth is right here. See, here's the seaport. Here's Rome over here. So you'd have to take a ship to go over there somehow. He wants to make a prosperous journey to go that way. That's what he's trying to do, and that's his goal. But notice, he has a sort of a something in there. Provision. What is the provision in verse 10?
By the will of God.
Coming to you. Now, sometimes we want to do things, but it's not the will of God. How can we determine what the will of God is?
Foreknowledge of the will of God is found in foreknowledge of the words of God.
That's very good. Now, many things in the Word of God fill right in the Scriptures. Now, there are other things that are not in the Scriptures, but we have to ask the Lord, what is His will? It's not in the Scriptures. But the general picture, the general overall outline, is in the Scriptures. So you got to know the Scripture. But he wanted by the will of God. Did the will of God ever take place? Did Paul ever get to Rome?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it the way he thought he would go to
start? No.
He was in prison, wasn't he?
Yes.
Now, when he went to prison, how did that stack up? Was he free to preach the gospel as a prisoner?
Yes.
Yes, he was. He was free to preach the gospel. People could come and visit him, so on. And did they... How many Roman prisoners did Paul have? For imprisonments, whether Rome or not.
Well, the one was 2 years.
Yes, well, that was at that other place close by.
Include the voyage to Rome?
Yeah, voyage to Rome. Well, many feel that he was in prison first time in Rome, then they let him out, then he went back another time, and that's when, as it says in 2 Timothy, he died. They did kill him, but he got out the first time and was released to preach. So, two Roman imprisonments, and this was one that was a prisoner in Rome. Yvonne?
Do some believe he was 3 times in prison?
I'm not sure. It could be. Yeah, Tammy.
Well, so when would the second imprisonment take place? So the first one would have been what we read about, and then he would have been released?
Probably released.
At that point?
Yes, and we're not sure exactly, but several years after, maybe 5 years, that he got out and was free, and put him back in there, and that's why in Romans or 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I photograph. In other words, it was a prison epistle, the second Roman imprisonment, because he got out the first time. So the time of it, we're not really sure exactly when, but if you look at 2 Timothy, what's the day of that 2 Timothy, we see what that time would be. somebody has a reference, like a Bible, you find it in your Bible? It's got a date on it?
I don't think so.
About 66 A.D. is the date in my Bible.
For 2 Timothy?
2 Timothy, yeah. So this was written in 60 A.D., so 6 years later. Yes, fine.
The first imprisonment, he was like in a house, wasn't he? Yes. Yeah. Had the guard with him.
Yes.
The second prison, he was actually in a prison.
That's
a
true.
A bad prison.
That's right. Now, these are the big prisons. Of course, he was in Philippian prison, too. Of course, that was another one. But I mean, you're thinking these Roman type of imprisonments.
Oh, I thought, okay.
But Philippi was a prisoner there. And he was in chains, that one. He was really in chains right there. All right, so he, by the will of God, he hoped ever to come unto you by the will of God. Then in verse number 11, what was his feeling in regard to these people in Rome? Longed to see them. That would mean what? Did he like them or did he despise them?
Couldn't wait to see them. He loved them.
He loved them. He wanted to see them. What was his purpose in going? What did he hope to have accomplished when he went?
Spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Well, before that, well, that's right. Well, excuse me, that's right. That's right. That was the, I got the wrong verse. The next verse is going to be the question. But on verse 11, he wanted to impart a spiritual gift. What would that entail, do you think? What type of spiritual gift would he want to impart to these
believe in Christ.
What's
right.
he?
To believe in Christ.
To believe in Christ. Mm-hmm. They Rick and
I was thinking in my commentary, it says teaching, healing, and prophecy.
They
were active then.
Perhaps active with that in that time. That's right, Tammy.
Well, because Paul was an apostle, I would think it had to do something with his teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to teach them something that would build them up the way they needed to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, did he want to start a hospital or anything like that?
No.
You see, we have, what is that gospel called? It's called
social
gospel. See, now, well, I'm not against hospitals, don't get me wrong. John, you've been in many of them, and different ones have been different. Rick went one, but that's not the mission of the church. Just think, I think of Associated Baptist World Evangelism. They start out Bible believing and just preaching the gospel. All of a sudden, they're building hospitals. All of the cost, the expense. So what do the liberals and modernists do with their missions? What is their position? Do they have any genuine, real gospel of modern message?
No.
So what do they?
Feeding centers.
The feeding centers.
And, like you said, hospitals.
Yes,
schools.
Sir. Yes.
Teaching.
Things
like that. More self-sufficient.
I think the three things, feed the world, clothe the world, and
house
the world. All those, but Paul wanted to have a spiritual gift. He wanted to have a spiritual gift.
Look at this example that Jesus gave.
Yes.
You know, he fed the masses.
Mm-hmm.
But what was first? A message.
Yeah, the message was first.
That was primary. That's the most important thing.
And John chapter 6 tells us, I am the bread of life. Mm-hmm. Follow, you know, feed on me first. And then, and some of the people followed him, you know, and they want more bread. And they didn't want to hear what he said. He said, but he's very important. The message was important. That's right, John. Absolutely. Now, spiritual gift, he did, but what was his purpose and goal that he wanted to accomplish for these Christians in verse number 11?
That he may be established.
What does that mean, to be established?
Set upon a rock.
Solid on a rock.
Grounded.
Right. Yep.
And not moved, unmovable. It's a very important thing. Now, are all the Christians in this world, born-again Christians, are they all established and grounded?
No.
Sad. What is it that knocks them off their ground these days? What are some of the things
the world, the flesh, and the devil.
The world, the flesh, and the devil, all enemies, the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Knocks them off their established ground, and it just eats them all up. What does it take to be established today?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible. God's Word and in prayer.
And
daily.
And not only read it, but
read it
and heed it. That's
right.
Absolutely.
Find it in your heart.
In our heart, in our heart. Pray about it. So establishment is very important. And he wanted them to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very important. 9, 10, 11. Let's read verse 12, 13, and 14 together.
That is, it is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me.
Now
I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles.
I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise.
All right, verse number 2. What was his purpose? What did he hope to have accomplished once he got there?
Comforted
together with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do fellow Christians, can fellow Christians comfort one another?
Yes, mm-hmm.
Of course. Yes, they can. It's important, isn't it?
Yes, it does.
Not forsaking the selling yourself together as a Sunday. See, this is, it's a comfort. So Paul, did Paul need comfort since he's an apostle?
Yes, he was still a human.
He's still a human being. He needed comfort. And certainly those Christians in Rome needed comfort. And even though going through difficulties, we're going to be speaking and preaching Sunday morning on some of Paul's jeopardies, some 26 different jeopardies and dangers that he had. But he certainly needed comfort. We don't go anywhere near that number. We certainly need comfort as well. Comforted, remember Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15:4. So this is very important. Comforted. We need comfort. And why do they call the big top thing on the bed a comforter?
Keeps you warm.
Keeps you comfort. It should keep you covered in the cold water. So the comfort is important indeed. And then in verse mutual, no, it says with the mutual faith. Both of you, what does the mutual faith mean?
They both have in Christ.
Both have the faith in Christ and doctrines of the faith. That's important, isn't it? Is it easy to have comfort and fellowship with somebody that has a different faith than you have? So we're different. It's got to have some mutuality. We may not agree 100% of everything, but the general thing's got to be mutual.
Amen.
Otherwise, there can't be any comfort. There'll be fighting back and forth.
Right.
Back and forth.
Discord.
That's like, for instance, the Dean Bergon Society, which we have the brochure now, it has in here the doctrines, the doctrinal basis of our Dean Bergon Society. All the doctrines. It starts out by saying, among other equally biblical faith or purposes, the truth, we agree the following. See, in other words, there are other things that we may have, but there are certain things we agree with in solidarity. Very important. And the basic doctrines of the faith are there. Anna, got something?
I'm not sure. I have to check with the expert.
The mutual faith would have to be based on the gospel of God and Christ.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Right.
Yes, it would probably be...
To be mutual, it would have to be the same thing.
Piston, would it be that? Tane, piston?
Piston, it's
tane?
It's taste with the...
Taste?
The previous...
Yeah, because of the genitive, taste. So it's there, right?
I don't know.
Taste is there, it's the article. Which, if the article with the faith, what does it always mean?
What verse is this in?
Verse 12. When the article, the Greek word...
Do you want to look at it?
Yes, you want to, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
If the article is there, what is always the case in interpreting what this is? If it's the faith with the article.
Particularly specified in English.
Which one is it?
Verse
12. Verse 12, okay. Okay, I'll get right back to you, isn't it? So. Yes, the one another faith. Taste. And all this, that is the faith. You got an article. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yeah, it's a doctrine of the Scriptures. The faith. Not just personal faith in Christ, but the faith, the body of doctrine, the theology of the Bible. That's what it is.
Is that verse 12?
Verse 12. It gives us comfort together with mutual faith. They agree with the doctrines of the faith. What is it?
Does it bother that mutual between the thee and the faith?
Oh, no. It doesn't bother at all. When you got that article, they put up in here, that just... It starts with the article, ends up with faith. The, then inside it, that's
another adjective.
That's not right, another adjective. All right, so the mutual faith in verse 12. We read 13. Now, what does ignorant mean?
Without knowledge.
Without any knowledge. What did Paul not want them to be ignorant about?
He wanted to come see them.
Okay. Very often he wanted it?
Mm-hmm.
Very often he wanted to see him?
Yes.
It says often, doesn't it? I purposed to come.
You planned.
I planned. There's a plan to come to visit. And so he was planning. But what was the situation in verse 13? What does let mean?
Restrained.
Restrained. That's the old English word for restraint. I was stopped hitherto. Now, what does hither mean? And what does thither mean? Hither. Let's get back to hither, here. Thither, hither. And some fence.
Hither means come here, from here.
Hither, to here, thither, from there. See?
Hither.
Hither is to, thither is from. See? And so it's like hence and whence. Hence is.
So to here, but what's the to at the end then?
Yeah, hither to.
Well, beforehand. Yeah.
There's like a parallel scripture too in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, where it talks about, it says, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us.
Yes, that's very good.
Yes,
that is. So sometimes we're hindered.
For note says, until this time to now.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what compared to. Right. Hindered until this time.
Before this time, that's right. That I may have some fruit among you. That's his purpose, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of fruit would that be? Tomatoes or onions?
Virgins.
Spiritual fruit. What does the Lord Jesus say in John chapter 15 about fruit?
If you abide in me, you bear much fruit.
If you abide in me,
and I am in the same
bring forth much fruit. For without me, you do nothing. And what is his title in chapter 15?
The
I am the vine. For the fruitfulness, very important. Mutual faith, ignorant offer to bring hitherto some fruit among you. He didn't want their money. It was not for their money. He wanted spiritual growth in the things of the Lord. And who else did he want to have fruit?
As among other Gentiles.
Was among the other Gentiles. Even as a, he'd been with other Gentiles, so he wanted to go to Rome for those Gentiles. What is a Gentile? How do you define that?
Yeah, what is a Gentile?
A Jew.
Okay, if someone's not a Jew, he's a Gentile.
Anybody that's not a Jew,
anybody's
a Gentile.
Not a Jew,
right.
So a Gentile. That's a general thing. See? Yes. So he had what fruit for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Then let's read 14, 15, and 16 together.
I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ,
for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
What does verse 14 mean, I am a debtor? What is a debtor?
You owe somebody something,
all right? Mm-hmm. And in the sense spiritual, how is he a spiritual debtor? What would that mean? Spiritual debtor. What is the thing he owes to?
The gospel.
The eternal life.
Give them the
message of eternal life. Both to the Greeks and the barbarians. What's the difference?
Barbarians would be the non-Romans.
Both Gentiles. Greeks and barbarians. What's the difference between the Greeks and the barbarians?
Educated, the Greeks.
Greeks are educated. They're very high learning, even though they don't know the gospel. What about the barbarians?
Well, they're strangers.
Strangers, yeah.
They all spoke Greek at that time.
Yes.
So it was not a barbarian type of a language. It was,
no,
you know,
special language.
Understood them.
That's
because
right.
The Jews would, and all the people in that time would speak Greek.
And when we say barbarian, the word barbarian is an onomatopoeia. What do we mean by that?
It sounds the same.
Onoma is a noun.
Or it sounds.
Poeo is to make sound just like the noun is. Barbar. See, that's an onomatopoeia. It's a big word. But anyway, barbarians.
That didn't blow off yet.
It didn't blow off yet.
We can work on that.
Now notice he says, the reason I say the last part of this verse gives two categories of people that might receive the gospel. What are the two categories?
Wise and unwise.
Wise and unwise. Mm-hmm. Did Paul want to talk to the gospel, to give the gospel even if they're unwise?
Yes.
His barbarians would be unwise compared to the Greeks.
Right.
And the wise, the Greeks, who oftentimes received it faster?
The unwise.
The unwise. That's right. I think that's right. Why is that?
They're not competing with other ideologies.
They are more open to.
They realize that they don't have a lot of things, and they're looking for something to give them. And a lot of times, people give the unwise food and education, but they need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They come as children.
Right. So they have to be. So he wants to be sure that he's a debtor to the wise, and he's a debtor to the unwise. Both people, indeed. And then in verse 15, what does it mean, as much as in me is? What does that mean? As much as in me is.
All that he has.
All that he has. In other words, other people may have some other gifts, but Paul is just himself. He's going to do whatever he can in his own abilities. What's he going to do?
Preach the gospel.
And before that, what does he say about this preaching?
He's ready.
Now, what does it mean to be ready for something?
He's studied and prepared.
All right. When the class starts and our Bible study begins, and the prayer service tonight begins at what time?
8 o'clock.
So to be ready. Bill is an excellent videographer back there. Anna took over for him on Sunday. You missed him, but he's always ready. He comes early, he's ready. And then I kind of give him a little time signal. He doesn't need it. I do anyhow. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's it. But you know, but we got to be ready. To do what God wants us to do. How does a person get ready to be one that can lead somebody to Christ? How do you get ready for that?
Prepare.
What does it take to prepare for that?
All the tasks that need to be done to set up the operation.
Study the Word, the Scriptures, be ready, and know what the gospel is, the good news, and know how to impart it, and want to impart it, have a desire to impart it.
You also have to have someone that wants to hear.
Yes.
Because if you give them the truth and they don't want it, then you're wasting your time.
A lady from Utah called me last week, and she was in a Bible study, and some of you had the same feeling of a Bible study, and they don't want to hear what she believes. Mm-hmm. Standing for the King James Bible, standing for truth. She wondered, what am I going to do? And I said, well, you can't make people, you can't hit them over the head. They don't want to accept what you believe, they don't want to accept it. There are only two kinds of people in this world. When confronted with truth, will throw out the error and accept the truth. The next one, confronted with truth, they'll keep the error and throw out the truth. Mm-hmm. Two kinds of people. And you can't force them to do anything. So this is what Paul said, as much as in me is ready, to preach the gospel to that Rome also. Other places, you've been all kinds of different. Had, how many missionary journeys did Paul have?
Three
missionary journeys, different places all over the world. And then had the fourth journey, of course, to Rome. But he was ready. He was a bit. Now, how many, does a person have to go to college and seminary, Bible Institute to be ready?
No.
To preach the gospel? No. In fact, sometimes to go to a seminary, it makes you unready.
Yep.
Because the seminaries, many of them, are just apostatizing and drifting and drifting and drifting. And
you need to be armed with us.
Armed with us. The Word of God. The Word of God, absolutely.
God calls a man or a woman to service. That's all they need.
Exactly.
The Holy Spirit guides.
Now, Harry Ironside, he's written many books on the Bible, New Testament, for instance, from Moody Church, Moody Bible Institute, in that area in Chicago. He was a pastor. He calls, I'm ordained of the Lord. He's never ordained by men, never went to seminary and so on, but he went, just like Dr. Amartya Han, teacher of the radio Bible class and founder, never went to a seminary. He was a medical doctor, drunk, absolutely drunk as a skunk in his life, and then the Lord saved him. He studied the Word of God and he preached, and it was a tremendous Bible teacher. And I learned much from Dr. Han myself, and I very, very much so, my early days as a Christian. But somebody asked me that same question the other day. We had a young man that wants us to be a minister. I don't know whether he'll ever be a minister, but he wondered about seminaries and schools, different things. And I believe that pastors are the ones these days called upon to instruct and to teach the one young man to be what they want to be. You can occasionally find a seminary that's halfway decent, but you just got to be very, they're going bad and bad, slowly but surely, they're drifting apart, very soon. But ready to preach the gospel, you're almost. Then in verse 16, what's true of his view? What is his view of the gospel?
He's not ashamed.
Not ashamed. What does that mean, not to be ashamed?
He doesn't back down from it.
What is the so-called
care?
That's right. What is the so-called gospel of the apostate churches? They did? What is their quote-unquote gospel? It's not the gospel. What they call? What do they teach?
Prosperity.
Oh, that's one thing. What else?
So you got the social gospel. Prosperity gospel.
How do they say you get saved?
By doing good works.
Pastor, go ahead, Pastor.
Well, this is going to be the start. You have love. Love.
Yeah.
Instead of holiness.
Right.
Instead of holiness. How do they say you get to heaven?
Good works,
one thing, the baptism, whatever. And the fact of the matter is, some of them teach what as far as getting to heaven?
Everybody.
It's a universalism. You don't have to do anything. No. Just come into the world and breathe, that's all. Now, they've got that concept of heaven. Is their concept of heaven the same as the Bible's concept of heaven? Which type of heaven do you want to go to? There's your art.
Well, ours, because if they're not getting
they're not getting there. No, I'm sticking
here. Okay.
So, not ashamed. Gospel of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul think of the Lord Jesus Christ? What was Paul's idea in all of his letters about the Savior? What did he say about him? In many places. What was his, we call it big word, Christology? What was his doctrine of Christ?
Christ is the only way. It's through him.
The only way? That's right. The way, the truth, and the life. What else? What else did he teach about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Hope of glory.
He's the hope of glory? What else?
Bodily resurrection.
Bodily resurrection of Christ? Absolutely.
He's fully God.
He's perfect God as well as
perfect
man. What else? His virgin birth? Oh. He had the whole story, the miracles, all these things. He had the gospel, the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole thing, from top to bottom, Paul was in favor of it. He preached it. He's not ashamed of it. Are some people today ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
They are. They're ashamed. They ought to be caught dead even thinking about it, because they've got their own friends, and friends have other ideas, and so they want to be in with the friends, with the crowd. But he's not ashamed.
So they chase after those worldly things instead of chasing after Christ.
That's right, they chase after worldly things instead of Christ. Now, St. Godfrey, what does he say about this gospel in verse 16? What does he think about it?
It is the dunamis of God.
Dunamis, the power of God. That leads to what? What's the goal? What's the end?
Salvation.
How would we define salvation?
You have to believe.
You have to believe, that's true. What does salvation mean?
To be saved, to be rescued.
Yes, 10.
Being born of the Spirit.
It's something that God makes over a lost, dead, hell-bound sinner. Gives new life from the dead. And resurrected. It's a new life, a new birth is salvation.
Yep.
It gives us a new life, a new hope, and a new destiny, the destiny of heaven. Now, who gets that salvation, verse 16?
Everyone that believes.
Now, is that limited to only the elect?
No.
Everyone means what?
Everyone.
All. Does everybody accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior?
No.
But what's the difference between inviting them and not having them receive it? What's the difference?
They have to accept it.
The Lord Jesus invited, come unto me. Remember that? Matthew 11:20. All ye the way, and I will give you rest. Was the Lord Jesus a hyper-Calvinist in his belief?
No.
All ye the way. Just like Paul did. Not ashamed of God. Everyone to believe it. Can the Jews get in on that?
Yes.
Can the Greeks get on that?
Yes.
Jew first, also the Greeks. These are very important things. We'll stop right here, but do you have any other comments or questions before we go? Yes, Barbara.
I think you should understand that Rome at this time was at its height. Nero was Caesar, and there were 1 million people in Rome. It was a big place, and there were 20,000 Jews there.
Is that why you say Jews first?
No, because the gospel, the law was given to the Jews.
Very good. That's good. That's good. Barbara, I have a comment question before we close.
I got that one.
Okay, good.
All right, if not, John, what's your Santa Claus word prayer for us?
Yes, no, pray for our...
for your presence, absolutely.
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you and praise you that we're able to meet freely in this country, to assemble together. As your word tells us, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as a matter of some is. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for Bible Today Baptist Church, for Dr. Wade and Pastor Dan, for continuing the ministry here, for Dean Burgon Society, and its strong stand on the underlying text of the English King James Bible, Lord. We know that you spoke, and when you spoke to the men of old, and gave your laws and rules and inspired these men to write through your Holy Spirit to write down the words that you wanted. It was in the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek, not in English, as some people today believe that the King James is inspired. We know that the King James is not inspired, but the original manuscripts, as you gave it to us, are. Father, we ask that you be with us tonight as we part our ways, Lord, that we take the lessons learned tonight and apply them into our lives, Lord. And we remember what your scripture says. And all who believe and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, know them as their Lord and Savior. And pray for those around in this community and throughout the world, those that are on the internet that may be watching tonight or may be watching at another time, as the feed will be on there so that they can click on the link and watch tonight's lessons, Lord, that their hearts and their minds will be open, and maybe they'll have a friend sitting there that might not know the Lord, and they'll come to know the Lord through the message given tonight, Lord. Lord, we ask that a blessing upon the snack tonight that is prepared. We ask that you bless it to our bodies, and may nourish us, as your word nourishes our souls and our spirits, Lord. Lord, we ask for these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, if you go out to the kitchen, yes,
Mr. Wake, could we have this gentleman take over?
Take over what?
Are you a pastor?
No.
He's a deacon.
I'm a deacon at my church, and a teacher.
Wow.
And his church invited us one day to have a Dean Burgon Society in his church.
Yes.
Maybe next year, the year after, we'll see.
Yep.
Principal. But we'll go to the kitchen. Time to maybe take over Mama's. I guess she's disappeared.
Just
so we invite you to come to the kitchen.
Oh,
if you
want
to come, you come. Visit. Have a little snack or not. Whatever.
I've got to go eat dinner right in.
Yeah, what was your
Oh, you just got no work, right?
On. I forgot
about that. Yeah, I got out of work earlier. I had a tough day today.
I was trying the same thing on my paper.
Not tough, but
and it was about
tired.
There's some days like that.
Oh, wait a second, someone gets here. Someone gets here, I log with someone here.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's hot. 12
points
outside.
But... Not yet. When it gets hot, I know.
Get up on a roof or something.
But my presentation is longer than it's hot.
Come take it over. Counter in the kitchen. Just help yourself. Go on through. I think there's something to drink in there too.
Super.
And it better hit up. I know Pastor Dan is just confident a bit.
Oh, yeah. It's a good idea.
How you doing?
Good. Good.
Good to see you. Good to see you, too. Especially when you come to the Well, since we had that dinner after
around
the
last class,
I know everybody's
good.
Bill can't have them donuts.
Oh, nothing to do with McDonald's. Pardon? Nothing to do with McDonald's.
No.
I wonder what happened to Bill Swinton.
You said I'm loving it. We do Wendy's on Thursday.
It's been a busy week for injuries and I had a pseudo gout.
I'll look at him because I have to eat dinner. I don't ruin my dinner. I'll look at him.
Yeah, kind of give your. Oh, they look nice anyway.
Take that out.
supposed to. Get my Bible later. At least put this outside.
Can you say these bread breaks?
No, we're good on that, but I was thinking there's another church I need to take some of your food. So when I come back, I'll grab another little snack.
Let's do that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now I'll have my Bible and notes. But we may take that boldly, I'm not sure.
Yes, please. Yeah, really.
Giving the pastor's name for it, you know, the man on that
script.
I want to get some of his church. His church is larger than ours. And he puts in his work inside the meeting in the future, too.
That's great.
Yeah, he'll probably try to make it up as long as his schedule. You know, he's definitely interested. I've been trying to get online.
I'm not trying to get online. Every time I go to the website, I try to get online. They just tell me they can't get through.
Which one are you looking at? The ones at the top or the ones at the bottom?
But I want to sign up for the newsletter.
Okay.
I keep trying. I try different browsers, and I always do whatever I can.
Okay. Call me tomorrow, and I'll look at it.
Something you can do from here?
I'll try to look at it.
Find that or whatever.
Yeah. Like we do,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, well, just sign me up for everything.
Okay.
Did you open up all three, Jesse, in there? Did you open up all three? There's another one still, right?
Okay.
Oh,
Yeah.